the football kickoff
with Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports.
With me in studio is Colin Boogie, and also with us this week is David Connolly. David, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, very good. We asked very quickly off the top of the show for a snap poll for people's opinions this morning, who they thought was going to finish in the top four. I am surprised because nearly 50% think Arsenal. Maybe it's recency bias. They were just on the telly. I don't know. But so 50% Arsenal, 25% United, 15% Spurs, and 11% other, who could really not be too many at this stage. So are Arsenal going to finish ahead of Spurs, do you think?
Oh, I think they'll finish ahead of Spurs, but that top four, as we've seen for Leicester the last couple of years, you can be in it right to the end and then you can just drop out of it. So that is the key battle, right? That's probably the most exciting. That and the bottom is the most exciting, I think, this season. Who's going to finish fourth for sure?
And what about United?
I think United will have a really good chance of finishing fourth. If I was going to put money on, I'd probably say United.
Okay, Colin Buick.
Yeah,
our resident. I tell you, actually, I better ask you: who do you support? Who was your team? Are you allowed to have a team when you like have a professional career like you? What's the crack with that?
Well, it's funny because I've worked a little bit with Jim Beglin, you know. And when I was a kid, I was about 10. I was a massive Liverpool fan because they had a load of Irish players. So I wrote to Jim, and he was probably surprised. I doubt that many kids had Jim as their favourite player in that Liverpool team, you know. But what he did, Jim, he actually sent me two tickets.
No way!
And Jim knows his story. Like, he sent me, and so I went up with my dad to Anfield, and we had a great time. And Liverpool was my team then. Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough. I vividly remember my first trip to Villa Park. I can tell you who scored, what happened, who the subs were, how amazing Paul McGrath was, which I think helps. Do you remember the game?
Yeah, I don't. I remember going up there and a couple of young lads said, you know, give us a tenner and we'll make sure your wheels don't get nicked off my dad's car. And I remember Ian Rush. None of my friends believed it was his autograph because it was like a child had written it. I said, I swear to God, that is Ian Rush's autograph. And it was like, it was printed. And to be honest, he was pretty dismissive of me. So after that, I think Kenny Dalglish was my favourite player.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that's pretty good. So you actually, you waited around afterwards for autographs as well. And have you, so I've gone back and looked. I know Villa beat Spurs 3-2. Lineker played, got taken off. It was the year Gazza was injured and hadn't actually joined Lazio. David Platt scored a hat-trick, so like it's burned in my memory exactly my first time. I've actually gone back and looked to make sure that the memory was correct. Do you know, have you ever gone back and checked on Google the results?
I do you know what? I haven't. I don't think I can remember what game I was a year ago. Never mind.
Fair
30
enough.
Years
yeah.
ago.
So. Yeah, you've actually also played in lots of games which might have displaced it, whereas for me that was kind of all time. So listen, Buick, you like a little bit of nostalgia?
I do.
Yeah.
My game.
Go on.
Manchester United 3, Leicester City 1.
Right.
17th November 2001.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Mine was April the 11th, 1991. Go on.
All headers.
Right.
My little fun fact for you.
There you
all
go.
Headers.
Okay.
One of Dennis Irwin's last starts for United.
Okay. So plenty of reasons to get to memory. Why did you love Jim Beglin so much when you wanted to be a striker? What's that?
Do you know what? I've got no idea. I don't know. You know, it's one of those. I don't know. I don't know. He's a nice guy though, Jim, right?
So
I was a good judge of character even though I was 10.
Yeah, no, proper order. Right. Great story. Right. What about Manchester United finishing in the top four? How is it going to happen? Where's the uptick in form going to come from?
Best of a bad bunch is how it's going to happen for me, I think. We sat here before Christmas when Ralf Rangnick was appointed, and I said to you, and you castigated me for it, I said, let's just get to the end of the season. This is a process that we're going to get to the summer to hire the full-time manager. And that's kind of how it's transpired. It's been more or less uninspiring. The one thing that Rangnick has been successful in is shoring up the defence. I think United have only conceded 9 goals in the 12 games he's been in charge of, but we've only scored, I think, more than once in 3 games, and one of those is a 2-all draw against your lot. So it hasn't been great, but he's shored up.
I see a lot of clutching of straws going on with people saying, oh, but we've had all these shots and we're not scoring. And if we keep having those shots, the goals will follow. I'm like, that's not exactly how the stats work.
I don't think so. I wouldn't agree with that. Even ESPN were reporting this morning that the players are a bit disillusioned with the kind of uninspiring training methods, certainly in the attacking third. And what he has done, he's definitely made us tighter. But I don't think anybody became a Manchester United fan because they had a tight defence. you know, so that's where we are. I think what will happen is in 5 years time we'll look back and almost forget that Rangnick was in charge, but I still think he's an important part of the start of the future of United if they get it right in the summer.
Yeah, that's the big thing. It needs a massive reset in terms of the personnel. David, what's your instinct about Manchester United attacking, or the absence of their attacking prowess at the moment? Is that fixable?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it is. I mean, you know, there's a lot spoken about, you know, their failings, and I understand that. However, look, Sancho, maybe his goal against Middlesbrough, we might see a bit more of him. He definitely looks like he's suffered with confidence. Rashford, he's the same, but obviously scored against West Ham. Greenwood's an issue for them because I think he's another goal scorer, but they've got that issue hanging over them. And Ronaldo will break his duck sooner rather than later. Cavani could have easily put them 2-0 up. You've got to remember in that game. So I think the front part of the pitch, I think it will come good. I mean, the issue they've got at the weekend, you've got two coaches who believe in playing more or less, and how they got their name, playing the same way, you know, with this particular shape that Ralph Rangnick tried, but it didn't really work, and he's changed that now. But Ralph and Hasselhoff played exactly the same way. These two are cut of the same cloth. And I saw Southampton last week in the Cup. They had a brilliant result against Spurs. They are going to be a very, very tough nut to crack. And it's just whether United have got the energy to cope with them. That might be the one thing. Without the ball, can sides like United, you know, can they cope against a side like Southampton? Because without the ball, there's nobody better.
All of these games are big games at the moment because teams can go on a bit of a run. They can bounce back. We saw West Ham winning an important game under interesting circumstances during the week, and that has obviously kept the pressure up in the top four. Not a lot of love for West Ham in our poll, by the way. They were kind of chief amongst the others when it was like, who's going to finish in the top four? Just to remind everybody, these are the five games we're talking about. Manchester United against Southampton, that's on BT Sport at 12:30 tomorrow. Everton against Leeds, 3:00 kickoff on Premier Sport. Norwich versus Man City kicks off at 5:30 on Sky Sports. Newcastle versus Villa is Sunday at 2:00. The Matty Target Derby, is that how we're going to refer to that? And then it's Leicester versus West Ham on Sunday afternoon at 4:30 on Sky Sports. The football kickoff with Sky every Friday morning. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sport. Southampton have been impressive, haven't they, Colm?
Pretty good. You know, it's hard to believe that Ras Hattenhootl is kind of still in charge when twice his team lost by 9. And the last time that happened was the Manchester United in this fixture last season. So that's kind of hanging over him. He also worships Ralph Rangnick, so I don't know if he's going to be too nice to him at the weekend.
He's recovered from
those. That's what I'm saying. He's recovered amazingly, and they're on a phenomenal run at the moment. I actually watched their game against Tottenham during the week at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they were well warranted their 3-2 victory. They should have won by more, actually. They had more chances. And he's getting them to play, unlike Manchester United, really free-flowing attacking football. And like as David said, they kind of have the same methodology, but it's working for Hasenhüttl and not the other Ralph.
Yeah, let's just talk about Hasenhüttl for a moment, David, because if you look at Mauricio Pochettino's career, he bounced from Southampton fairly seamlessly to Spurs. And yet you don't see Hasenhüttl linked very often with any of the bigger jobs. Why is that?
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a great point. And I think, and I was told, and, you know, I've been to Southampton a lot, former player there, so I know some of the staff. I think he was disappointed that he didn't get more of a shout for the Chelsea job before Tuchel got it. Now, he is very, very well paid. If you had the list of the highest paid Premier League managers, I reckon he'd be in the top four. He's really well paid. And he's got a lot of control. There is nobody really above him. They haven't had anybody for a long time since Les Reed a couple of years ago went to the English FA. He is pulling every string at that football club. Now, whether he'd get the same responsibility or autonomy elsewhere, that I'm not so sure. But as it is, the pressure's less at Southampton. It's a nice place to live. Maybe it's a job that suits him at this minute. But I think he feels he could be in charge of a top four club, you know. But the only issue I think is for a top four club, he is all about without the ball. I know they spend so much time what they do without the ball. The Man City game was that in point. They were superb, but they worked on it all week. If he's in charge of a top four club, I know that they're going well in terms of playing forward at the minute. But, you know, that might be something else. He'd have to evolve a little bit, having more of the ball. But look, I think he's done very, very, very well. And he has recovered, as you've said. He has recovered as well from a couple of really bad defeats. But to be honest, there was no one above him that was going to pull the trigger on him, because the structure wasn't in place, and maybe that's allowed him to recover.
Top of the table, that's exciting. Bottom of the table, that's exciting. Like, that's the sort of football that you want to be in. These are the pressure games that in 15, 20 years' time I will look back on and I will remember. These are the important matches for me, not middle table teams.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
It's very interesting, right? Because maybe he has a lot of loyalty to the club for them sticking by, and maybe he feels he can turn them into the next Leicester City. Is there any possibility that he thinks he wants to do that?
I tell you what, that's not a bad shout. What they have done, you know, they've recruited really well. Now, this Brozier, who's only on loan, he is a terrific player. I mean, powerful, quick, great with his feet. They're trying to charm him. You know, whether they can do a deal with Chelsea, I don't know. Livramento, fantastic signing. You know, they're a pretty small squad, but they've added to it with some good recruitment. You know, so he's done very well. And you know, if they keep turning up sort of, you know, talent like that, like your Livramentos, if they can nick Brozier, you know, and you look at Danny Ings going on, not playing at Villa, you know, they've recovered from losing all those goals. You've got to remember that as well. So, no, he's done a good job.
Yeah, I've got to give some credit to Colm in studio here, because he did actually say that as a Man United fan, he wouldn't mind seeing Hasenhüttl at United at some point. It's unlikely, but it's not impossible if you think about the Rania connection and him kind of saying, well, here's a guy, knows the league. You know, we can go and we can get Pochettino, who might be on the way down, who might be like just ready for Manchester United. It might be the perfect scenario, I don't know. But, or we can take the risk with this guy and look at his strength of recruitment, look at what he does. I'll be in the background here. There's a defined plan, there's a defined style of play. The you know, it's every signing we make will make sense with the overarching plan. Is there a world in which this happens?
It could be. The only issue is, whether he would... Ralph Rangnick tried to play a similar style, you know, with the two up top, and you'd say the front two that United have, whoever they put out, would be better than the front two at Southampton, and it hasn't worked. Now, whether he would do that if he was in charge of United, I don't know. But make no mistake, you know, if he was going to a club, he'd want to have the similar sort of power. I'm not too sure he's going to get that, even if he went to United with their structure above him. So, you know, where's his ceiling as a manager, as a coach? As I said, I think he thinks he can manage a top four club. You know, I do. And I guess performances like the one against Tottenham, where, you know, he outfought Antonio Conte, you know, that shows you what a good manager is. But I'm not too sure. I don't know if he'd get a chance, to be honest, at a top four. I'm just not sure he would.
Yeah, I mean, look, the most likely one is going to be Chelsea at some point, because that job comes available every 18 months, almost irrespective of what happens. If Tuchel manages to retain the Champions League, we won't be talking about him being at risk if he loses three games in the first 2 months of next season. But let's move on. Everton against Leeds. Is Frank Lampard going down, Colm?
No, I don't think so. Again, I think the bottom three currently are the bottom three who go down. And I believe that's what I predicted when OTB Sports did their own predictions for the relegated three.
Okay.
I don't know who you are.
You're sticking by it.
So I think they'll stay up, but again, a bit like Manchester United, there's going to have to be a total change in the summer about their strategy and philosophy going forward. Like, Everton always sign attractive players, certainly in the last decade. Always sign players that you think, that's a good signing. And it so rarely works out. So, so rarely in the last even 5 years, if you can name an Everton signing that's really been superb and brought them on to the next level. And the other thing as well is, I'm not sure exactly what Everton saw in Frank Lampard, but they've put huge faith in him. And I was interested to see, after losing 3-1 to Newcastle fairly comprehensively in the end, I was actually reading the comment section on Everton's Twitter account, very supportive of Lampard, the fans. Really, really supportive of him. So if he maintains that fandom into the summer and beyond, it could go okay for him. But I don't even know what the ambition for Everton is.
Well, the ambition...
Is it Europa League?
No, well, I think long term they want to be competitive at the top end of the table. They've got a new stadium coming. You know, they've got a very rich owner who has ploughed a lot of money in, who has wasted a lot of money, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
But so I'd say, I think they think they can be a very big club. At the moment, they've been so badly run and the money's been so badly wasted. David, we've heard stories about the, you know, it's interesting what you were saying about Hasenhüttl and the money he's paid, but we've heard stories about what the players at Everton are on the mediocre players are on massive wages, and the alleged superstars are all on up to 170, nearly 200 grand a week in some cases when you factor in bonuses. Not that there's been too many bonuses recently. And they haven't performed at that level. So I don't know how a dressing room responds when some of the team are playing well and pulling their weight, and they're getting paid less than the players who are not playing well and not pulling their weight, and even some of the players who aren't even playing for them anymore who are still getting paid by them.
Yeah, I mean, it's I know what Colin's saying about the teams that are down the bottom, you know, but I think one or two above are going to get sucked in, you know. The issue for Frank has been, he has been renowned for maybe going forward, you know, in terms of how they're doing it as an attacking unit, but defensively, you know, they've had a lot of injuries at the back, make no mistake, but they looked all over the place again against Newcastle. Couldn't deal with the pace of Saint-Maximin. I mean, a lot of sides can't, but it just seemed like he was given far too much space and time to run at you, which you can't allow, so he's just too quick. You know, I looked at the wall. Have you seen, you know, the wall for Kieran Trippier's goal? I mean, they left a gap where only Trippier could score, and that was the gap he put the ball through. So little details like that, which add up to getting Premier League points. You know, I mean, Holgate, Keane and Mina as a back three, you know, Yerry Mina and Mason Holgate don't want to be out in those wide areas. You know, I'm sure Seamus Coleman, he's a terrific wing back, but I'm sure he'd rather be playing fullback. Townsend's not a wing back, never has been. So I think they've got a lot of issues to iron out, to be honest. And they've signed, they've gone back to me what they did a few years ago. I don't know if you recall, a few years ago, they had so many number 10s, they couldn't fit him in the team. You know, they had Sigurdsson and Klaassen and Rooney and all these. And it's like he signed another two number 10s. You know, where's Dele Alli going to play? Or, you know, where's Van der Beek going to play? It's like they've added in, I think, the wrong areas. But anyway, they'll have to put on a good performance in front of the home fans, let me tell you, because they'll know about it.
Dele Alli was so poor when he came on. I mean, that guy, I actually feel for him at this stage. Remember how good he was a few years ago? He lost the ball for the decisive goal in the match, ready to go 2-1 up for Newcastle, and was kind of trotting back. And like David said, where's Dele Alli going to play? Where's Danny van de Beek going to play in this grand scheme? Like, I am interested, David. Like, who do you think the three clubs will be to get relegated?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to say a club here that I think they'll probably stay up because they got points earlier in the season. But I've watched them so often and they're close to me. They'd just beaten Watford 2-1 and they were ninth, right? And I did a Chelsea game in the cup, and I said I think they might get relegated, and everyone thought I was mad, and that's Brentford. Now, I've seen Brentford so much. By virtue of only the points they've got, I think they'll stay up. But it would not surprise me if they got sucked down into, you know, that bottom three. The only issue is, can Watford and Norwich win more points? Ironically, I think Burnley are going to get out of it.
Really?
I do, yeah. Because I look at the team they got, I look at the manager, I think he's the best manager out of that bottom seven. I think Wout Weghorst is going to do a job for them. You saw the other day, I mean, you know, goals, he's got them. I know he's, you know, a few German strikers haven't worked out. I know he's Dutch, but he predominantly plays like a German, and he's born near the German border. He plays like that, but he's a massive target, man. He's like having Niall Quinn, you know.
Even bigger, yeah.
Yeah, even bigger, you know. And do you see his touch and his through ball? Oh, that was like Quinny of old, you know. That was like Niall Quinn. And that's a real compliment, because I think Niall, with the ball at his feet, was superb in his vision. You know, he spanned the ball around the corner to Jay Rodriguez. I remember Niall Quinn doing that for me against somebody like a USA when I was like 18 or 19, the vision he had, eyes in the back of his head. And look, he's not going to score you 20 goals, but no one will for 12 million. I mean, you know, but they've got three games in hand, you know, on Norwich, a couple in hand on Newcastle. Look, it's ambitious, I know, but if they play like they did against Man U, and if they get those points on the board, they'll have a chance. And I fear Brentford, out of all the teams, they might be the one that gets sucked in.
Well, if you do look at the teams in the bottom half of the table at the moment, so Southampton are 10th, they have 28 points. Yeah. And then from there down, it's Villa on 27, Leicester on 26, Palace on 25, Brentford on 23, level with Leeds. Then it's Everton on 19, Newcastle on 18, Norwich of 17, Watford of 15, and Burnley of 14. Like, I think Leeds are going to be grand because they're playing really well and they're capable of scoring goals, and you know, players will come back from injury, and you know, their energy in the second half of the season I think will see them through. But after that, I can see any of the rest of those teams. I don't think Villa, Leicester or Palace. I could be wrong about Palace. Palace could also crash and burn, but again, it looks like they have goals and they've got players to come back too. But after that, you wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the season any of those teams were relegated, would you?
No, no, I would be surprised if Everton went down. Definitely, I would definitely. I mean,
they've just appointed a very inexperienced manager who's never been in a relegation battle in his life. It's a squad that is like completely imbalanced and hasn't tried a leg. It seems like in 18 months, really.
When it
became clear Ancelotti was leaving, when it became that second half of that season under Ancelotti, not great actually. First half of the season, excellent. Second half of the season, not great. The Rafa experiment, the point you make about why are they signing two number 10s? They're signing two number 10s because there's nobody in the club left. They got rid of the director of football. They got rid of most of the backroom team. The medical staff got changed over. And Lampard has to walk into this and go, no, it's okay. I've got this. It's grand. I know what I'm doing because I've been through this before. And he just hasn't.
Yeah, but there's plenty of managers who haven't been in a relegation battle before who will comfortably steer their team away from relegation. I mean, I don't think that's a prerequisite to stay up. I think in the case of Delhi and Van de Beek, it was availability was the most attractive aspect of it.
That's deadline a waste day. Of money, though.
Lampard comes in, I'll take these lads, two statement signings. Look, if they work, it's a great bit of business. I just think, like, lads, I said at the start of the show, like, in my opinion, Burnley, Watford and Norwich are worse than Everton. And I think that will decide it. And I know, like, David makes a point about Burnley, Sean Dyche, like, definitely he is the best manager, most impressive manager down there. Veghurst, if he's as good for the rest of the season as he was against United, but he doesn't have the luxury of playing Harry Maguire every week. So I don't know if defenders will give him that much ability to turn on the ball. And other than that, I'd be very surprised if Everton, like, they've never been relegated from the Premier League.
Well, yeah,
71 years, I think, in that flight.
It's looking more likely now than it ever has before. Well, maybe not ever. Obviously, they've got the great escape before. Exactly, yeah. So, very quickly, Norwich against Man City. Norwich have looked better under Dean Smith. They've looked more organised. Adam Eda's playing pretty well, David. I still think this has a routine 3-5 victory for Man City written all over it.
Yeah, look, you might be right, but I think the good thing is, obviously, they've got the points, what, 7 from the last 9. They've looked a lot better. If you go to the table, right, this is what, I mean, to be honest, in England, they've been getting absolutely destroyed on the radio for their performance this season. However, you look at the table, you know, and they have probably spent $500 million less than Everton, and they're 2 points behind them. And you can't lose sight of last time they went up, you know, your Wes Hoolahans and everything. You know, when they came back down, they had a wage bill that they nearly went bust, you know. So this time around, they weren't going to risk that again. And you can say whatever you want about them. You know, they're 1 point behind Newcastle and probably $500 million better off. So they're probably going to go down, right? We can say that. The signings to keep them up haven't been enough. But if they do go down, I think they've got a really good manager in Dean Smith anyway, and he'll probably get them back up, and they're $500 million better off.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. Like, the money Everton has spent, and Newcastle, I mean, it's, you can't sustain that. You will go out of business, or you'll destroy, like, Norwich is a one city place. You know, fanatical fans, great cracking stadium, lovely place to go and live and play your football. But you know what? If they get relegated, they'll go, you know what, we'll take that on a chin. They sacked Daniel Farker, which a lot of people thought maybe they wouldn't. So they've tried to change, probably didn't get the best signings in, but nonetheless, I think they've got a good manager now and they will go down. But you know what? They'll have a right good chance of coming back up. And if it was 4-5 to Man City, you'd probably expect that anyway.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the work Dean Smith has done. I don't think it's the worst thing from a Republic of Ireland perspective if they were to go down to the Championship next year.
No, you're right, yeah.
Fairly sure Adam Eda is going to start every game next season in the Championship.
He's flying it now.
And I'm fairly sure Andrew Mabadeli is going to start every game next season. Obviously, we're desperate to see him come back from injury and, like, win back a place. But
he's playing it now, Eda.
They're still...
And in a great run.
And they're still really young. Like, it, you know, it's he needs that confidence of creating and scoring goals as well. So, very quickly, to move on to Newcastle against Villa, live on Sky Sports on Sunday at 2:00. What do you make of the job that Steven Gerrard's done so far, David?
Well, I mean, we just spoke about, say, Dele Alli and Van der Beek, and you look at what he's done with Coutinho, who a lot of people, he's past it, he's, you know, he hasn't played. And I mean, do you want to see that kid's talent? I mean, his turn the other day and through ball to Jacob Ramsey was absolutely, I mean, you know, quality play. And I think Stephen, with his backroom staff, you know, I look at Roy Keane not going to Sunderland. I look at Stephen, he's got his backroom staff, you know, Michael Beale, really well-respected coach, Gary McAllister. He's got a good staff around him. He manages the club, and I think he carries himself, and I think he's done a really good job so far. Probably, like, disappointed in terms of drawing the game the other night. It's a great game of football. But nonetheless, you know, brought in Luca Digne, they seized upon sort of the Rafa, the mess at Everton at the time. I think Luca Digne is a terrific fullback. He's done a great job, make no mistake.
Yeah, okay. Anything about this game you want to talk about?
Well, what do you make of Aston Villa now? You're on, lad.
Like, you don't want to get too carried away. They were 1-0 down. I was like, oh, this is typical, we're going to lose against Leeds. And then they were 3-1. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then I was like, oh, look at the defence. The defending. The worst part about it is, right, there was this incredible piece of McGrath-esque defending from Tyrone Mings where the ball kind of cannons off his face and shoulder, and then he karate kicks it clear, and you're like, yeah, that's exactly what we need. And then, like, less than a minute later, he's scuffing the ball straight out to the lead striker stick it in. You're like, ah, oh, if they can just get those little kinks out, they'll be a good team. You know, that they're
hey, Judge, you know what? On that, it's a great point, right? But look what he's done with Danny Ings. He's benched him. He's not playing him. And I have a feeling in the summer, Stephen's ruthless, you know. If there was going to be one player I think that's really vulnerable, it would be Tyrone Mings. And I think if they strengthen at the back, they'd have a really good chance.
Yeah. Well, they kept getting linked with top quality centre backs, and then they got Callum Chambers on a free. Yeah, I was kind of, why are they after centre backs? It's like he clearly has spotted something there that he's not mad about.
Yeah,
and maybe it's Konsa, but
yeah, it might be Konsa.
I don't know.
Like, I'd say he's looking for a Mings partner. I mean, that would be sensational if he was ruthless enough to cut off Mings.
Well, maybe you sell him to Newcastle for 50 million because he's English. The tax they've got to pay. Okay, so Newcastle against Villa kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Leicester against West Ham is the final game of the weekend that we're talking about. Mixed opinions on Leicester City and the quality of what's going on there at the moment, David, in terms of the job that Brendan Rodgers has done. I felt like he took his eye off the ball a little bit when the Man United link started to happen, and it felt a little bit like the team were kind of thinking, well, if you're leaving, why are we trying out so hard week in, week out? It's just a subconscious thing. Maybe I'm wrong about that and it's just the injuries, because there's been some injuries as well, so maybe I need to be a bit fairer to him. But where does Brendan Rodgers fit at the moment? Can he manage Manchester United?
I tell you what, I think he's got a little bit to do, because he showed a bit of arrogance. I don't know if you recall when they got knocked out of the Europa League and they went into the Europa Conference, and he said, I don't even know what that is. And I'm thinking, well, you're in it. So, you know, it was a bit dismissive. And I think, you know, there's no doubt they've had a lot of injuries, right? That's affected things. Missing Johnny Evans and Fofana, and Pereira's been out, etc. They've had a lot of injuries. But some of the selections, like Sionchu, I mean, we saw the Euros, he's well gone. And they need to certainly have a good window in the summer, you know. And I think he needs to go and prove himself again, because, look, people say, how can finishing fifth be a failure? But they were in the top four for so long, and to now be in the Europa Conference, I think they'll be disappointed with that, you know. But he's won the FA Cup. By and large, he's done a good job. You know, I think they certainly need a refresh in the summer.
Yeah, okay. What's going to happen in this game?
This is, I'd say, a 2-1 win to West Ham, against Leicester. They have a good record against Leicester. I just think, I think it's just reached the end of its shelf life with Leicester and Brendan Rodgers. I mean, what more can he do there, really? Because, I mean, he had his chance for top four a couple of years ago and blew it in the last day. The FA Cup's a fantastic feat. They're still only 6 years out from winning the Premier League. I don't know where Leicester go other than, like, constantly challenging top four.
You're a top six team, and then occasionally there's an opportunity to get in top four. And so you're Champions League once every five seasons. That's like a massive transformation from where you were a yo-yo club or even a championship team.
It's perfectly fine, but I don't know if that matches Rodgers' ambition. And as David says, he's getting a bit arrogant with the Conference League, and he sees himself, he's done a job well done.
Like, if you were advising him, right, would you advise him to wait for the Chelsea job to come up and that be the one that you have a link with the club and it's going to be some kind of homecoming for you? But if you go to Manchester United, the Rafa effect, as people are calling it, where you go to one of your most hated rivals, the banners are up before you arrive, and you're behind the eight ball from the first training session. If you were his agent, David, what would you be telling them?
Well, I think his agent has done pretty well for him. Look, he has that reputation of he's not afraid to walk out and go on to the next. However, I think he knows that I don't think he'll be doing that again. I don't think the Chelsea job will ever be an option for him. I don't think. Irrespective of you know, I know he started there as a youth coach, but I'd be surprised, to be honest, you know. He's done a good job, don't get me wrong. He's done a really good job. And I do, I think he's, but he's also, yeah, he's, I think he has to, you know, just try and, they're a long way from where they feel they should be this season. I mean, down in 12 at times, that I thought they were excellent against Liverpool in the reverse game. I was at the game. They were superb. You know, but they had the majority of their spine of their team playing and fit. When they don't, you know, they've looked a little bit light, and maybe he might have been thinking about that in the summer window. I don't know if they did enough for the summer to compete on all the fronts, you know, Europa League, etc.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's fair. All right, let's very quickly go through our football kickoff five-a-side team. The football kickoff with Sky, all the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sport, live every Friday around about 10:30. Every week we ask you on Instagram to choose your five-a-side team made up of players competing in our selected games. This week it was De Gea versus Forrester. De Gea won. It was Coleman versus Dallas. Good old patriotic vote there for Seamus. Gilmore versus Silva. Silva won, which I think is a safe bet, given Gilmore wasn't in the starting team during the week. Joe Linton versus Buendia. Amy Buendia wins. And Daka versus Antonio. And Antonio wins after his staunch defence of his teammates during the week. Right, that is this week's episode in the can. David, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Always great to see you. Cheers.
Cheers, David.
Cheers, Joe. Cheers, Colm.
Yeah, Colm, thanks very much for you as well. We'll be back next week at the same place, same time. Take care.
The football kickoff
with Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports.